Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, again, another opportunity to gather together around the Word of God. We pray, Lord God, that you will join us in this discussion, in this study, so that you can enlighten us to the truths of your Word. We ask, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened and that we would know the hope of our calling in Christ. And what is the exceeding riches of the inheritance of the saints in light? Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand what you purposed for bringing forth the new creation. We're grateful for this study, Lord, and we believe that you will take us further and increase our understanding in the knowledge of God. Thank you, precious Lord. We commit this time into your hands that each viewer will have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thank you, precious Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for you all that are viewing, and we're grateful to have another episode of This Present Truth to share with you concerning the Word of God. I would like to look again in the scripture concerning this new creation in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I would like to start at verse 9 and read down to verse 12. And we'll start in the King James, and then we'll look at some other translations. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 9. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, reading down. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Let's stop there. The book of Colossians, along with the book of Ephesians, these epistles that Paul wrote in prison, the prison they're referred to as the prison epistles, they unfold the new creation life. They unfold to us the life that Christ is requiring of us now as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. This third chapter begins with, if you've been raised with Christ, and there are instructions, but the aim of that particular chapter is pointing at those that have experienced the resurrection life. It's important that we constantly be mindful of what Jesus did as a threefold understanding: the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death we identify with as an identity, and Romans chapter 6 tells us that we are identified in his death through baptism, which is the burial aspect, and then raised to new life in Christ to begin now allowing Christ, who lives within us, to begin living his life. Now, brothers and sisters, it's important to understand that the new creation is not new as it relates to a topic of discussion. It's just not understood in its proper context. But the new creation can be seen throughout the New Testament scriptures. and is perfectly unfolded in the person and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to understand the life of the new creation, Jesus becomes the focal point because he was sent by God to the earth to unfold this new life. And we hear Jesus telling us why he came in John 10, verse 10. He says, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy." He identifies the two key utensils or instruments, if you will, that are operating in the earth. The enemy is operating, and what he comes to do is clear. Jesus said, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." As we approach this text in Colossians, there's an understanding by the time we get to chapter 3 as it relates to where these believers were in their growth and understanding of the new creation. In verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." So he's identifying with those that understand they've been raised from the dead. To not understand that and to proceed will not bring a holistic understanding to those that he's writing to. If ye then be raised with Christ, if you have been raised, it already precedes a death. A death has already taken place because it's death, burial, and resurrection. It's not resurrection first, and then if I feel like dying, then I, no, no. If you haven't died to your past life or self or whatever the struggle might be, which most believers today know very little about the death to the old man or the self life. So we just go to church. We say we've accepted Christ, we've made him, we've confessed him or whatever, because some people think that's what births salvation. It might in an embryonic state, but it cannot sustain you throughout the rest of your life if you're not living for Christ. Now, he says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand." Another instruction is set your affections. He's pointing to things that need to be done while carrying this new creation life that flows out of an understanding that I have been raised with Christ, that when Christ was raised from the dead, I, by faith, was raised with him into newness of life. If the Lord permits, the next time we gather, we'll look at that sixth chapter of Romans and go through that passage so that we can understand it more clearly. But Colossians in the first two verses gives a clear instruction. If you've been raised, seek those things which are above. That's the first instruction. If, and it's a big if, you've been raised, your seeking, your attention should be directed now towards things that are above. Where is that? Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He's directing those who need to be seeking as it relates to the direction, those things which are above. Because as we live on the earth, the enemy and the world system work hand in hand to get us to seek the things that are not connected to Christ and hinder the new creation from coming forth. Seek those things which are above. Verse 2, the second instruction, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Why? Verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead. It's important to know, brothers and sisters, that if a person hasn't died in Christ, then there's no life in Christ. death comes before life as it relates to the spiritual makeup of what the order that God established. We already have a current life prior to meeting Christ, and that life has been contaminated, unfortunately. The sin of Adam in the garden contaminated everyone in his loins, and it included us. This is why the virgin birth is so powerful and important, because Jesus did not partake of that same nature. He had the nature of God, because he didn't come from the seed of Joseph, his father. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is the virgin birth attacked? Because if we can do away with that birth, then we'll never see in visual mode the new creation life as Jesus lived it. So he says, you're dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, verse 4, who is our life shall appear. What'll happen? Then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now, from verse 5 down to where we read verse 12, we have some instructions concerning our former life, but the emphasis is that you died. Verse 3 again, ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me read this in the NIV, just so you can see how the scripture aligns us properly with these passages so that we can see them in a clear light. The NIV, the New International Version, says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. So now the new creation, the heart has a different focus than the natural life and the natural man that we were born with, Adam. He says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Where is Christ? Yes, he's within us as we've received him, but he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And it says right here where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So the first emphasis is on setting your heart. The second emphasis is on setting your mind. The King James says, set your affections. The NIV says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So too many of us have avoided this passage completely because all that's on our mind is earthly things. What I want to get, how I want to look. All of those things are earthly in nature. But our encounter with God, although we were living in the natural, it's a spiritual nature. It's a spiritual context. It's a spiritual life. It's not natural, because the natural man, what happened to him? He died. And now Christ, who is living within us, is wanting to manifest different virtues out of this new life that he has now taken up residence. Now, brothers and sisters, this is going to be very, very difficult for the religious mind, because the religious mind always feels like where he is with God is sufficient. I hear what you're saying, preacher, but you know, me and the man upstairs, we got a special understanding. Unfortunately, sir, ma'am, God cuts no side deals with people. Okay, so there's a pattern that Jesus established that if we want a relationship with God that is working, that is authentic, then we must follow the pattern that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. His attention, his heart, and his affection and mind were on things above. He was always sharing with the disciples and others things that were above to move the mindset off of what's happening on earth to where we're going. Our new residence, our new king, who is Jesus. Now, he says in verse four, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, put to death, therefore. Now, remember, he said in verse 3 that we died and our life is hidden with Christ. Because of that death, now you can put to death these things. Do you understand? If a person cannot relate to verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ, he won't understand from verse 5 down out of that death and what it produces. The nature of that death is what helps you overcome the things that you may be struggling with or that at some point you may have experienced. He just lists a few in verse 5. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, there it is, that earthly nature died. That was Adam. He says, whatever belonged to your earthly nature. He mentions some of the things that belong to the earthly nature of man, who is Adam. Listen, sexual immorality. Brothers and sisters, where did that come from? It came from the inherent earthly nature of Adam. If you read even in the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, you'll come down and see how the life of Adam in its fragmented state began to produce things that were ungodly, like the sons of Adam, Cain and Abel. You know the story, how Cain rose up one day and killed his brother. He was jealous over what his brother offered without considering what he was offering to God. Then you get to a guy named Lamech. You go down through the genealogy and you see that a guy named Lamech, for whatever the reason, had two wives. No one else in the genealogy had two wives. But because of the nature of Adam and what it produced, unbridled, Lamech said, I know one wife is good, but I want another one. So he had two wives. Then we see the nature beginning to unfold in the lives of those to the point where God says, all of the thoughts and the imaginations of men are evil. I'm going to start over again. Why did God have to start over? Because the nature of Adam contaminated the entire human race and they couldn't stop sinning. So now in Christ, now that we have come in Christ, the first thing that he deals with is the sin in your life. Yes, you need to be forgiven. Yes, you need to be washed in the blood and all of that. But the proof that you carry him is that the power of sin is broken over your life. You don't sin anymore like you used to. You might slip. You might make a mistake. But one characteristic of the new creation life that very few understand is that the mindset of the new creation is not a sinful mindset. This man is not looking to sin and then cover it up like Adam did. No, totally different man on the inside now. Christ is living. Adam died. Christ is living now. So he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. This is the NIV. And I'm going to read this in the Phillips Modern English. And then I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. Here's what I want you to see quickly. That whatever belongs to your earthly nature, now, because you died, you have to put to death the things that are operating in your life as sinful deeds. You have to stop those. In verse 3, he says you died. In verse 5, he says, now you can put to death those things. How do I know I can put to death those things? Because verse 3 says, you died. Now, if you haven't died, then certainly the sinful deeds that may be a struggle haven't been put to death. Some are erroneously sharing that because they died with Jesus, that death included their daily walk in it. No, that is erroneous. Hear what Jesus says in Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross how often? daily and then follow me. My brother, my sister, there's a daily cross that we bear that we have died, and daily we yield to that death. And if we don't do it daily, brothers and sisters, it's not automatic. Well, Jesus did all that for me, so I don't have to. Are you daily with the Lord? Most people aren't. Most people are weekly. When they can make it, monthly sometimes. God forbid that you're annual with God, that all you attend is the feasts on Sunday. You won't grow spiritually and mature and actually understand what it is that God has called you to do. I want to emphasize here that these things that we're about to read have to be put to death, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Boy, I'd love to come back to that one, especially with those that have embarked upon the prosperity and are into entrepreneurship and all of that. Listen, one of the dangers of that, the blessing of God, prospering, and all these things, is this thing called greed. You don't hear much teaching on that. The prosperity message needs to be balanced, because now many are chasing the money, and God never said do that. That's greed. And you know what he says greed is right here? Idolatry. I wonder how many that are involved in the things of God today are actually idol worshipers. And the idolatry that they're worshiping is money, mammon. And it's generated something in them called greed. Now they have to have it. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. This is the mindset that has creeped into the church. Many men of God, I pray that you're watching, have been deceived in thinking that what man needs more than anything is in his pocket. It's not true. It's in his heart. And if it's not removed by the power of the gospel and they die, it doesn't matter how much money they had. Doesn't matter. That amount of money that you have can't do anything when you stand before God in the judgment. It's very important that you understand that how you live on earth, brothers and sisters, is going to be an indication as to how God is going to judge you when you slip into eternity. Now, I want to get to this verse. I want you to see that because of these, the wrath of God is coming on. It says in verse 6, it says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. He's going to mention another list: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Uh-oh. You know how the tongue slips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. And here it is, verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile or Jew, there is no circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves. So notice, there's a taking off of these things as there is a putting on of this new life. But you can't put on the new life on top of the old. The old must be evacuated so that the new can be received. This is why many are frustrated. How come I can't stop sinning? How come I can't stop lusting after women or men? I can't stop this. I can't stop that. I can't control my desires, and my nature is pulling me in a different direction. That comes back to the fact that you haven't died. If you're struggling with sin, there's something about Christ's life that you don't understand, because the new creation is not a sinful life. It's not a life that continues to practice sin. It's not. If you keep sinning, it's because you haven't encountered the new creation life. I want to emphasize this where he says, But now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these, and have put on the new self. Now, I want to read this in the Phillips Modern English, and then I would like to draw our attention to the place of prayer, because I would like to just point out in this particular episode that the new creation and the new life that Christ died to give us, the reality of that new life is that we're being renewed in God's image. That the nature of Christ's life is a life of renewal. It is a life in God's presence, but as we continue to meet with the Lord, something happens on the inside of us, and renewal is something that we are able to partake of because of the new creation. Now, let me read this in Phillips Modern English as our time is running here. I want to just read this so that you can grasp a couple things. In chapter 3, and we'll read, he says, "But now put all these things behind you. No more evil temper or furious rage." Notice, no more of these, because if I haven't died, then these things are resident. "No more evil thoughts or words about others. No more evil thoughts or words about God, and no more filthy conversation. Don't tell one another lies anymore." Why? Why not lie? How come I got to stop lying? "For you have finished with the old man." This is Phillips Modern English. "You have finished with the old man and all he did, and have begun life as the new man." Notice, the new man is the beginning of life. That without the new man, you have yet to begun to live. Then he says, "You finished with the old man and all he did, and have begun life as the new man, who is out to learn what he ought to be according to the plan of God." So notice, let me just focus lastly on this before we pray together. This is going to be our prayer point. That the new creation is out to learn what he ought to be in God. How do I know that I'm growing in the new creation? Because I'm learning who I'm supposed to be now in Christ. I'm not learning how to get more money, or how to do this, or how to do things with accounts. No, that's for the worldly and the carnal. It has no spiritual context. The new creation life is not a broke life. It's not a life of struggle either. So we've downplayed the life of Christ and made it seem as though that God can't take care of his children, so they got to go get jobs and do all this stuff on their own. No, you, my brother, my sister, just don't understand how the new creation operates. The new creation life, as we see in Jesus, it wasn't a beggarly life. We don't see Jesus soliciting for funds. We don't see Jesus trying to accumulate ministry partners so that they can give towards it. No, we don't see none of that. We see that foolishness in our world today by men of God, probably not called all the way, just doing their own thing. This particular life, brothers and sisters, is not a broke life. It's not a life that struggles, and it's not a life that constantly needs offerings. No. You just don't understand that Christ's life is sufficient for whatever you face in life. Now, I want to close with this one point. He says that this new life that's begun is out to learn what he ought to be according to the plan of God. That's where I want to stop. That the new creation is only interested in learning who he is supposed to be in Christ. How do I know I'm growing in this? My identity is being shaped as to who I am now that I've made this decision in Christ. That's the growth that we're talking about. He says, "For you have finished with the old man and all he did, and have begun life as the new man, who is out to learn what he ought to be according to the plan of God." He says,
in this new man, God's design, or I'm sorry, in this new man of God's design, there is no distinction between Greek and Hebrew, Jew or Gentile, foreigner or savage, slave or free man. Christ is all that matters, for Christ lives in them all. Christ is able, once these individuals open their life, to live in no matter what heart is going on with this person. I want to stop here today, my brothers and sisters, and I want to encourage you to understand that there's a brand new life that we have in Christ. It's not a religious life. It's not a church life. It's a life that we see in Jesus where all of what he was doing was directed towards pleasing the Father. It was directed towards fulfilling the Father's purpose. I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when I can't work anymore. This life is focused on completing the plan and the purpose of God while here. My brother, my sister, would you like to pray about that today? Do you understand that God has a plan for your life? That there's a purpose for which you were born again to fulfill? Of course, if you're not born again, then you'll never understand the call of God on your life or God's purpose for your life. But the new creation man is designed by God to understand who he's supposed to be and fulfill the plan of God. Are you fulfilling God's plan, my brother, my sister? Are you in the center of God's will, or are you trying to figure it out? Are you saying, wait, just give me a minute. You know, I'm trying to put it together. You know, like life is a big algorithm and we got to work out the X squared and the parens and we got to work this stuff out in order to get the answer to life. No, it's simple. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it's not popular, especially in our world today, in terms of what they're doing to the religious and those that are trying to serve God faithfully. All kinds of things are about to break out, brothers and sisters, as it relates to persecution. We're beginning to see that now. Now is the time for us to understand that the world system is finished. Everything about what's going on in the world system, and it don't matter what political position you are or you have, or it doesn't even matter about your race. What matters is the kind of heart that you have towards God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Would you like to pray and talk to the Lord about how you need to get back to that place? I want to just take some time and pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every listener that is being engaged in this passage of scripture. You have engaged us, Lord, to understand that this new creation life is based on a death. That if we haven't died with Christ, then certainly we won't be raised to new life with him. We know that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, the new has come. But my question today, my brother, my sister, has the old passed? If not, then the new life can't come. So, Father, I'm praying that you give us an understanding as to how to do away with this old life, this old Adamic nature that ruins marriages, that takes us out of the will of God and hinders us from understanding the plan and who we are in Christ. I pray today, Lord, that you open the eyes of our understanding and that you enlighten us as to what your plan and purpose was from the beginning. We pray that this old man and its life and its mindset would die, and that this new life in Christ that we've encountered would begin to come forth. We trust you, Lord, that you will help us in this understanding. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for those of you that are viewing. We just wanted to share a little bit with you about the new creation. And as God directs us, we're going to give you and share a part two to this. And after which, brothers and sisters, we plan to turn our attention towards the family. I want to report that my wife, Kathy Copeland,
will be joining us as a helper as we sit together and discuss the issues concerning the family, marriage, so on and so forth. I'm excited to be able to share these things as my wife is excited. We're sharing out of 35 years of marital experience, and we're trusting as the Lord is still helping us understand some principles. We want to begin to share what the Lord has shared with us. That's all the time that we have on this episode. I'm Pastor Mark Copeland. We're signing off. This is This Present Truth. We'll be back on the next episode with part two of Understanding the New Creation and Its Life. Until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time. God bless you.